Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the race of life, many people don't accept themselves as clay on the potter's wheel of God. They become slaves to their peers who value appearances. But you can see yourself as a unique creation of God and then live in freedom. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on Who Are You to Judge? Learning to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. Erwin Lutzer is speaking on judging appearances, helping us accept even our disabilities.
The limitations, the disabilities that you have, they're a God thing. Moses stuttered. He wasn't very good at speech. And that was one of the reasons he didn't want to become the leader of the people. He says, give it to somebody who can talk better than I can. And God says in chapter 4, verse 11, I've often pondered this verse. Wow, it takes your breath away. Who hath made man's mouth, or who makes the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Your physical disabilities? Now, of course, if they can be improved, if there are things that medical science can do, that's perfectly fine. That's the way in which we operate in our world, knowing the fallenness of our experience. But at the same time, what we must do is to recognize and to see God in them. This past week, I read a story about a boy who was born with a birthmark that basically covered most of his face, and it did not bother him. He did not seem to be concerned about it at all. And somebody asked him how he handled it. And he said, well, as soon as I was old enough to see it, he said, my father always said that I was given that birthmark because that's where an angel kissed me. And that I have been kissed by an angel. And that God gave me this birthmark, he said, so that my father could always pick me out in a crowd. Now, technically, of course, an angel didn't kiss him. But the idea is thoroughly biblical. This child must be able to accept this as a God thing. You say, well, that's hard to accept because he's going to have kids in school make fun of him. He's going to be discouraged because he's going to be rejected. He's going to experience it. Yes, yes, yes. But that's where the parents come in and affirm the child and help him to understand that he is loved by God and that his form was created by the Almighty. And God was there in the womb. What pressure that takes off from people. Your mental capacities. Again, this can be changed. We can improve it. But folks, just let's talk more plainly than I've been talking a few moments ago, possibly, and simply say that some of us are never going to be geniuses. We're never going to be able to have the brains and the ability and the giftedness of others. So if we begin to compare ourselves with others, we're in bad shape. Now, here's what I want you to do. Especially the young people who are here today. I would like you to look into a mirror, a full-length mirror, if possible. Look into that mirror and say, Father, I thank you for the way in which you created me. I thank you for my limitations. I thank you for the things that I don't particularly like that I would like to have had differently. Please forgive me for thinking you were not around when I was created. I pray that you might grant me the ability to accept who I am and I don't have to be anybody else. What freedom that gives to people to finally give up striving against God. The Bible says in Isaiah, woe to him who strives with his maker and who says to his maker, why hast thou made me thus? Isaiah said, does the potter not have the right over the clay to make it as it wills? Must the clay jar look into the eyes of the potter and complain? Of course, we do all that we can to try to make ourselves look as good as we can, given our limitations, but we accept those limitations as from God's hand because we know that he is the creator and our father. What an opportunity to be free. But you know, that's not the end of the assignment. It is not just that we look in the mirror and say that we are content with the way in which God made us, but rather, I have to accept you the way in which God created you. And you have to accept me the way in which God created me. You see, if I reject you because you don't reach some artificial standard, a certain height or a certain weight or a certain appearance, if I say, no, I won't have anything to do with you because you don't fit this category of being a beautiful, winsome person, I am rejecting the God who created you. I too am striving against God, who is our maker. You know what? Can we accept the way in which we are as the wise and the good choice of God? And think of the freedom and the sense of acceptance. Do you realize that when God created all of the people that are in the world today, and there are, what, 4 or 5 billion, and before those billions, there were other billions, I'm sure. God said to himself, I'm going to create each one differently. Not two will be alike. And each uniquely woven in their mother's womb. Oh, yes, parental characteristics are passed on. We know that. But all part of the divine plan. God created your body and mine. Secondly, God owns the human body. God owns it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that very familiar passage where it talks about the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have from God. And we are not our own, it says. Do you not know, verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. God owns the human body. No, my friend, you don't have a right to do as you wish because this is your body. You don't have a right to say, I can use it however I want to. I can abuse it because this is my body. It is given to you by God, first of all, by virtue of creation. And if you are saved, it is now his also by virtue of redemption, and he owns it. I remember Joe Stoll talking about the fact that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he said that he knows of someone who stepped on a scale. And as those numbers went way up, he said, you know, this isn't a temple. This is a garage. Well, that's the way our bodies are. I don't know about your garage, but I know what ours was like. Junk. It's God's. And we can abuse it because of the way in which we refuse to take care of it, because of lack of care, because of what we eat, because of the way in which we drive ourselves, our lack of sleep. We can abuse our body. We can abuse our bodies if we determine that we are going to be thinner than anyone else ever thought we could possibly be. And we choose to starve ourselves because we're going to be in control and we're going to look the way in which we want to look. What I'm going to say now, I'm going to say very carefully, because I've been agonizing about this for a week or two as to what I should say about body piercings and tattoos. So it will be said with a great deal of care. You know, it used to be, as I mentioned, women had earrings. Now, of course, you have nose rings, you have tongue rings, you have navel rings, and, well, I'll stop there. You have all of this happening. You have tattoos that sometimes cover the body, sometimes permanent tattoos. And you say to yourself, is this really what a Christian should do? Is this what a Christian should do? You know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, God expressly forbid that. For example, in the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, the Lord says expressly, because this is what the heathen would do, he says, do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. And some people say, well, we don't accept everything that's in Leviticus. And this was a heathen practice. We know that it all began with heathen practices. Nobody doubts that. But it's very difficult for me to be able to see how that this kind of an abuse of the body can honor God. Perhaps all that I need to say is the words of a woman who had a permanent tattoo and then became a Christian. And she said, that tattoo is a reminder to me of my past life. It has become a reminder to me, therefore, of God's grace in my life. Think about that before you even think about whether that's what you should do. And then we can misuse the body because it becomes a vehicle for sexual attraction. And that was the great emphasis with which I began this message. And you know the great emphasis on cosmetic surgery nowadays? That great emphasis is, in a sense, intended to deny the curse that we were born with that eventually leads to death. Instead of honoring old age, people want to stave off old age as long as they possibly can, striving against it. I mean, I'm talking about a week ago or so on TV. Some of you may have seen this. There was a woman who said, I have spent $1 million on cosmetic surgery. By the way, can't you and I think of how that million could have been better spent? But anyway, let's hurry on. She said, I've spent $1 million on cosmetic surgery, and I told my husband that even after I die, he can have cosmetic surgery done because I even want to look good in the coffin. Lady, you're not going to look good in a coffin. I've seen many people in a coffin. None of them really look good because they're dead. Just accept it. God owns the body. Before you say, this is what I'm going to wear, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to flaunt myself, before you say all that, remember your body belongs to God. It isn't yours. Third, God uses the body. Notice what the text says, glorify God in your body. You know, my friend, if you are blessed as a result of these messages, if you are instructed, I want you to know that they are all in a book entitled, Who Are You to Judge? This book deals with false miracles, false understanding of God's revelation. It helps us navigate the culture and the views that are out there that are sometimes presented as scriptural, but actually they aren't. Talks about the kind of issues that you and I face every day. It's entitled, Who Are You to Judge? For a gift of any amount, this book can be yours. And I want to thank you in advance for helping us because we intend not only to lead people to faith in Jesus Christ, but to help them, as I frequently say, to help them navigate our very confused culture. So ask for the book, Who Are You to Judge? The subtitle is Learning to Distinguish Between Truths, Half-Truths, and Lies. Thanks in advance for helping us because together we're making a difference.
Today, Erwin Lutzer spoke again on Judging Appearances, the seventh in a 10-part series on Who Are You to Judge? A Study in Discernment. Next time, Seeing Our Bodies as God's Handiwork. Who Are You to Judge? Is in print as a book by Dr. Lutzer, a book we'd like to send as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.